You okay, Rod? What happened?
Strained a muscle, I think.
Between like morning service and evening
service.
Wow.
I have an explanation.
You have an explanation? Yes. It's probably not a good one.
It's not a pretty explanation, but it is an explanation.
Okay. Do you want to sit down?
No, I think it doesn't matter. It hurts either way.
All right. So I'm going to ask, since we're a little small group today, do we need to turn the air conditioning back on? Are we hot, cold? All right. Fine. If you're that one person who's sweating it, we are a house and there is air conditioning units, we can start the war. So you can just get up there and click it on and then others can fight. And amen. All right. It'll be the thing that splits the church, the air conditioning.
Father, thanks for bringing us here, and thanks that you bring us from a variety of places, that we're here somehow because you called us, and we aren't quite sure why. Some of us have been with you for so long that we can't remember not gathering together on a Sunday to worship you. Some of us are just starting out on that journey. Some of us have no clue why we're here. But you did bring us here, and for some reason you did that, even if we're not aware of it. So would you speak to us, and would you help us to hear your voice, and would you fill this room with your spirit? Would you anoint the words that I speak so that they fall on ears that are that hear you and not just me? And Jesus, speak to us and help us to listen carefully to what you would have us hear and know tonight. Pray it in Jesus' name, amen. We're wrapping up soon the book of Luke. It's been mentioned numerous times that it's the book of Luke is just this disturbing book. It's about the revolution of the ordinary. It's about surprises and twists and turns and turning things on their head. The book of Luke, I think, is kind of hard for us sometimes because it reveals our place in what I love to call the upside-down kingdom. And the upside-down kingdom, it reveals this upside-down kingdom in which we live. Luke disrupts us and it messes with our heads. It blows up all our logic and our understanding. And tonight we're going to look at five chapters, Luke 17 through Luke 21. So that's five chapters of stories and parables and recorded events and all kinds of extraordinary stuff. So I'm going to carry it, go through it with minute detail. So, you know, be prepared. It's going to be hours and hours and hours because I wanted to cover everything and make sure I got it all right and then leave room for questions at the end. So just so you know, this is really going to be long. Not at all true. Matter of fact, tonight we're going to concentrate on a few simple verses in the middle of those chapters, Luke 18, 15 through 17. There's some simple verses that I think we kind of easily overlook. And I want to spend time on them tonight. And these are the words, we read them earlier, Luke 18, 15 through 17. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." I spent last week in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it was snowing and cold, and we were in these wonderful meeting rooms, and we were standing out in the hall talking at one point, and somebody was trying to make a point about we're not as young as we used to be kind of thing. And then someone said, they were trying to draw comparisons, and they said it would be kind of like Rod hopping and skipping down the hallway here, which is not a picture that we would have in our heads easily. And so can you imagine Rod as a little kid just hopping and skipping through here? So tonight I was going to do that. I know how to skip. And so this afternoon while I was sitting over here kind of getting my sermon in my head, I thought, you know what? I'm going to practice skipping. So that ship sailed. And it's really disappointing because I think I could have done it. I started off really good, and then something went yank in my calf here, and now it hurts like I'll get out. The kingdom of God calls you to be a kid, right? And I thought I could be a kid. Jesus asks us, Jesus tells us to come to him as a kid, as a child. Come to me. And he's asking us to do that tonight, and he says, you know, basically put aside all your brilliance and your intellect and your well-thought-out theological positions, your great self-assurances about the positions you hold and just how right you are, and perhaps you're pretty sure that you and you alone know what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow in his way. Do you have rules and requirements, expectations of yourself and others about what it means to live out the Christian life? Do you kind of judge others, maybe harshly judge others, even including leaders, village leaders and elders, because you think somewhere inside that your understanding of Scripture is better than theirs, superior to theirs? Luke comes along and he disrupts us. He messes with us. Are you adulting as a follower of God, or are you just like a little kid? A little kid who's like playing peekaboo with Jesus, who's, you know, doing that. Are you like the village children who take delight in each other and in Jesus? I remember telling kids to stop racing through this sanctuary, leaping from couch to couch. I thought that would really be cool if I did that tonight. I could jump through, but that was kind of worried about that too. So in my best mean pastor voice, I said to them, stop running in the sanctuary. Stop it. And they skidded to a stop and they looked at me and one of them said, okay, we're sorry. And they went on their way, and 10 seconds later, they're back in here and they're racing through the sanctuary again. I said, stop running. And they said, we're not running, one of them said. We're fast walking. So I had to add a new rule to the village rule book, which is there's no fast walking in the sanctuary. No running, no fast walking. Eventually, we make more and more rules and more requirements, and we soon forget the joy, the sheer joy of racing through a sanctuary, jumping from couch to couch, playing tag. We forget the fun of just playing peekaboo with Jesus. We forget the joy of being a little kid. I have this weird thing that I've been doing with kids for a long, long time. Well, two things. One is my little sneeze thing, right? So kids know to come up to me, the little ones do, and they'll take my cross and put it in my mouth. Bet you, right? That's what I do. I sneeze it out. And for some reason, kids, Fiona loved it back when Fiona was a little, and your kids love it. And I love it. It's fun. And they put it back in, and then I have all different kinds of sneezes, really loud sneezes, really minor sneezes, huge, boisterous sneezes, and the kids just giggle and giggle and giggle, and then they get into the Hugin hugging machine, which is this really wonderful thing where I sit in the chair and I grab them, put my arms around them, and you're in the hugging machine, you're in the hugging machine, you're in the hugging machine, you're in the Hugin hugging machine. That's it. Kids love it. And I'm the kind of idiot who loves doing it with them. And I want to say something about God. He's like that. He loves us. He loves us to just take delight in Him, just have fun with Him, just enjoy Him, enjoy His presence, enjoy what He's doing. Skip across the sanctuary unless you're 67 and decrepit. But even then, do it in your heart, even if you can't do it physically. See, the disciples are in a quandary. Jesus is doing really important work. Lepers are being healed. Blind people are receiving sight. Tax collectors are having their worlds turned upside down. Jesus is doing ministry. It's very important ministry. It's important work. And the disciples are just trying to help. And they're just trying to protect Him. They want to control the ingress and egress to Jesus, the exit ramps and the on ramps, right? They're taking the role of gatekeepers, and in their mind, Jesus is much, much, much too busy to spend any time at all kissing babies. He doesn't have time for that. He's got important things to do. And you know how you parents are, kind of pushy moms and dads, right? They want the magic of having Jesus touch their little kids, their little precious ones, and so they're kind of pushing them forward. You know, like, I've seen you guys, ouch, I've seen you guys do that stuff. This is not going to work out, is it? Sorry. They're wanting their kids to experience Jesus, to be touched by Him, to be healed by Him, to have this special blessing thing that happens. And you know what? Jesus isn't paying attention at all to these demanding parents or overprotective disciples. He's not watching them. His eyes are on the children, and He's watching them at play, and He's seeing how they bring about the kingdom of God. And He says, if you aren't receiving God's kingdom with the trust and the joy and the delight of a little kid, then it's not the kingdom of God that you're receiving. Kids trust. They aren't self-sufficient. They can't provide for themselves. They need to be cared for. Self-sufficiency is this wonderful, powerful North American value, but it's not where children are at all. My son is godparent. My son Justin is godparent to little Jolie, who was born missing a major part of her brain, and you have to put her food in a blender, and you have to rub her throat sometimes to get her to swallow, and you have to be careful. And you know what? If he walked away, and if her mother walked away, Jolie'd be dead soon. She's totally dependent. Children are, and the dirty little secret is we are. We forget that. We forget that we live in total dependence. I remember when Kathy's grandmother was lying in the hospital bed. She's laying there, and it's just hours before she died. And I look at it, and there's all these machines and lights and tubes and everything. She's near death. All the stuff keeping her alive. And I thought, wow, so this is our end, right? This is what it looks like at the end. We're on total life support. And it was like the voice of God said to me, hey, dummy, you're on total life support. You walk around in this globe full of air that's circling around in space. If gravity stops for a few minutes, well, I'm sorry. Or if suddenly it gets sucked into the sun, bye-bye. Like we live in this fragile world where we're totally dependent. And God invites us, Jesus invites us to delight in that. Can you tie my shoe? Can you hold my hand? Can you give me a snack? we like to take care of ourselves. Self-sufficiency was a value. It was the value of the rich young ruler in Luke 18, 18 to 27, a story out of these, out of this chapters. And a ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." Then when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." We find our value in our wealth, in our money, in our position, in our status, in our ability to be independent, to only depend on ourselves. Kids don't experience that. If they aren't cared for and fed, they'll die. Our wealth makes it difficult to place our trust in God. It becomes an inhibition to being able to just trust in his goodness. Jesus' invitation is to rest in his goodness, to delight in his provision, and to be dependent on him. I took care of Justin after Kathy had to go back to work after he was born. She had to go back to work, I think, 2 months in. And so I kind of became primary caregiver while she worked. And his first word was, "Dada." Yes. I liked it. I liked it because it was a dependent word. It was like, this guy feeds me. This guy takes care of me. This guy changes my diaper. Dada is important, right? It was fun. Derek's first word was "mine," by the way, just because he had an older brother who took all his stuff, right? But as a good dad, I would take care of him. I would give him stuff. I provided for them. That's what we do, and we have a good dad. We have this good dad who wants what's best for us. Now, we get all wrapped up of, and I know, I mean, I can hear it in my own brain, so I'm sure it's in yours too. Well, yeah, but, you know, you can't be reckless with your money, and you need to have a good retirement plan, and you need to make sure you put a little aside every month, and you need to take care of yourself. Like, it's our mentality, isn't it? It really is. We can't get out of it. We don't get out of it. We find so much value in there. And matter of fact, just like the people in the story, we admire the person who does it. We kind of think they're closer to heaven than maybe the rest of us are. That they kind of have an inside track. That somehow they're better. And that's what these people did. And that's why they're marveling. They go to Jesus, "Really? Really? If he can't get in, what chance do we have?" "It's impossible with man," Jesus says, "is possible with God." And notice he doesn't tell you how he's going to do it. Because then you say, okay, I'll follow the rules, right? We go back to the rules thing. Luke 18, 1 through 8 tells another story. He told them a parable to the effect that they... they ought always to pray and to not lose heart. Jesus said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Kids are annoying. They keep asking for what they want. They keep begging. They keep nagging, Mom, I need a drink, Mom. When my boys were little, I'd always get that question, how long till we get there, Dad? Then 2 minutes later, how much longer till we get to Grandma's house? How much longer? How much longer? So I developed this great strategy, and you parents, you're welcome to use this. This is no extra charge. I'd say every time you ask, it's going to take 5 minutes longer. But they didn't stop asking because they're not smart. And they just want to go to Grandma's house. You would have thought that I would have solved the problem, but it didn't. Do you know that? Do you know you can bug God? You can just be irritating. You can be a naggy little kid. But I want this. Do you know it's okay to badger him? Bug him? Because that's what kids do. God is, he doesn't say, stop your nagging. Stop praying to me. Stop talking to me about that. Just shut up. I've had enough. Go to your room. He doesn't do that to us. He listens to us. And you can keep asking for justice, and you can keep asking for mercy, and you can keep asking for fairness, and you can ask for anything. You can ask for ice cream. I love that when Eric came up with our Trinitarian prayer thing, that the first part of the prayer thing, and you should, if you're going to be part of the village for any length of time, you will love Trinitarian prayer. And the wonderful thing about it is the first part is, tell God who he is. Just tell him how great he is, how fabulous he is, how wonderful he is. Because that's what kids do. Daddy, you're the strongest dad ever. And well, maybe not so much anymore. I can't even skip across a room. Daddy, you can do anything. And by the way, Dad, I want this and this and this and this and this. And you can just give him a list. And that's what we do. We do that often at the village. This is what I want. God says, oh. You know, we think he's up in heaven going, are they ever going to catch a clue? I'm not going to give them that. Okay. But we keep asking because sometimes he gives you ice cream before the meal. It's happened. It could happen. I used to do that with my kids. I did. I'd spoil them. I'd give them crazy stuff. Because they kept bugging me. Take them to the toy store. Okay, fine. Go get the Castle Grayskull, right? That was the big thing in those days. Castle Grayskull. Some of you are excited. Some of you really, huh? Kids keep asking. Keep asking. Luke 18, 35 through 43 tells another story. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Kids don't know how to be quiet. They do not know how to shut up. They talk and talk. I was sitting in Chicago airport Friday night, and there's this little guy, and with his mom, and you know, they got, they're all, this is, it's great. Like, and they're, and this little boy is like asking a million questions in a big loud voice. Hey mom, we're going on this trip, right? Yes, we're going on a trip. We're going to see grandma, right? Yeah, we're going to go see grandma. It's going to be fun, huh, mom? Yep, yeah, it's going to be fun. Hey mom, are we going to eat food when we get there? Is she going to make our favorite? Is there going to be candy? We got presents. Like he's just going on and on and on. And pretty soon, he says, it's getting dark outside, right, mom? And she says, yeah, it's dark outside. And he says, and we're going to fly up in the sky, right, mom? Yeah, we're going to fly up in the sky. And he says, are we going to sleep in the sky, mom? And she says, one can only hope. Right? Because he's annoying. He just keeps asking stuff. He's driving us all insane. And he's loud. He's like, shh, shh. People are trying to sleep. It's been a long day. Nope, he doesn't care. Kids don't know when to be quiet. They're loud. They don't have proper decorum. They're obnoxious and annoying. They're loud. The blind man is begging, and suddenly he hears Jesus is nearby, and he starts yelling and raising a ruckus, and people are trying to shush him up. The disciples tell him to give it a rest, and he ignores them and yells louder. And Jesus asks what he wants. And he says, I want to see. You notice the fun thing is that Jesus doesn't correct him for being loud and obnoxious. He doesn't tell him to just hold it down. You're disturbing people. He doesn't do any of that. Matter of fact, it's funny because when Jesus heals him and gives him his eyesight, he gets his eyesight, he starts praising God, which is sort of catching because it's got all the other people start doing the same thing. That if you're going to raise a ruckus and you're going to yell and you're going to be loud and you're going to ask for stuff, you might as well. It's just noisy. It's good. You're God's kid. We're children of God. Do you get that? We're children of God. You don't have to suffer in silence. Did you know you can just cry out? That you can just holler for help? You can cry out to Jesus no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at. Kids aren't quiet. I love at the end of the service when I get to offer God's blessing and I put my hands up and I wait till everybody gets quiet. And I wait and I wait and I wait and I wait. And then moms are shushing their kids and dads are going, shh, 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 and then stop it. And then somebody's clanking pans and I wait. It's just fun. I mean, I mostly do it because Eric once said, Rod, you're going to stand up there a long time if you wait till everybody is quiet to hear the blessing. Especially after we sang happy birthday raucously and loudly. So I took that as a personal challenge. And it's been fun. But no matter what happens, whenever I start, some kid starts talking or somebody starts crying or whatever. Like no matter how long I wait, you don't have to wait. You can be noisy. You can be that. You can say, God, this is what I want. Please give it to me. And you can keep yelling at it and you can be persistent and you can just keep bugging him and bugging him and bugging and bugging him. And it's okay. Because that's what kids do. And he might say no, and he might say wait, and he might say, I'm weeping with you, and I'm sad with you. Luke 17:11-19 says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Little kids get owies. They hurt. They get painful things happen to them. Pull muscles in their calves. Well, they probably don't, but I do. And they forget to say thank you. They forget to say, "Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad." There's no gratitude. Isn't it funny that the lepers are all healed? 10 of them. And only one comes back and says, "Hey, thanks." It's great. The thing is, Jesus doesn't undo the healing of the other 9 that aren't grateful. He doesn't say, "Those ungrateful jerks, fine, you can have your leprosy back." That's what you get for not being grateful. That's what you get for not being thankful. He doesn't do that. God doesn't practice this conditional love. This conditional love that says you get what you deserve. We do that a lot, sadly. God's love isn't conditional in this delightful way that he just takes joy in bringing healing, and he heals 10 lepers. Now, he takes a lot of joy in healing, and I'm sure that he takes joy in gratitude. When Justin was a little one, Justin and Derek were little, I took them to a toy store, and Toys R Us in those days actually existed then. And I had just gotten this big Christmas bonus. So I said, "Guys, you can go in there and you can get anything you want, whatever you'd like. There is no toy in this toy store that you cannot have. You can have anything you want, whatever it is, enjoy. Go pick it out." A couple of your kids are going, "Hey, Dad, pay attention," right? Like, this is cool. Like, you can have anything you want. And I was all excited. I was all excited to give them something great. I'd have bought them a new bicycle. Whatever the most expensive thing was, I'd have done it. And they went in and they were buying these stupid little $10 things, which I'd have bought them if we just happened to be by there. Like, it was so sad. Like, what kind of children have I raised? You know, like, they don't even take advantage of my goodness and my grace to them and my kindness and my love. I'd have bought you a $300 bike back when no bike cost that much. I'd have done all kinds of things, and they're buying, you know, each sold separately G.I. Joes or something. You know, it was sad. Like, we don't ask and we're afraid and we don't like to be little kids. We don't even understand how to be them. And God, in this topsy-turvy, upside-down kingdom world, wants us to be a kid and to take advantage of him. But our owies aren't just the kind that we can put our little finger up and say, God, kiss this. We have awful stuff. In this sin-sick world, in this broken world, we have deep, painful, hard, tough things. And God loves us. Just like we love our kids when they're hurting, He loves us. And even when He doesn't fix the thing that we want fixed, there's something about the incredible presence of Him, our dad, our mom, the one who cares about us and thinks about us and holds us. When I was in Michigan, I got to spend some time with Dave and Linda Wiemhoff, and years ago I was president of the board of a school, and Dave was the principal of that school, and Linda was one of the teachers, and so I took advantage of this trip to spend a little time with them. And a few years ago, Linda got lung cancer, which was really weird because she's never smoked or had any of the behaviors that you would have that would lead to getting lung cancer. And so they were trying to figure out the cause, and what they discovered is that in their house they had radon gas, massive levels. And that had given her cancer. And she's been in chemotherapy for many months now. And matter of fact, when we were going to go have a meal, she that morning was in chemotherapy. And I just feel horrible. I feel so sad. I wanted to say something, and what can you say? And I wanted to do something, and what can you do? And I wanted to offer something, and what can you offer? And then she said, you know, God is closer to me now than He's ever been in my life. And I cry out to Him, and I yell at Him, and I'm afraid, and I don't know, and I'm worried about the future, and I don't know if I'm going to be okay. But there He is. She says, I can't say I wish I, or that I'm glad I got cancer. But in getting it, I found out how good my Father is. Be a kid. Be a kid. I would recommend not trying to skip across the sanctuary. And some of you are too big to jump from couch to couch. But you ought to. And I promise if you do, I'll yell at you. And I'll make a new rule. No adults are allowed to jump from couch to couch. Be a kid in the kingdom of God. Any further explanations, questions? Nope. Wow. Let's pray. Oh, we got one.
I really relate to that conflict between being a kid and trying to be a good steward of what God has given. And I really struggle sometimes with getting a balance, you know. When do you let go? When do you plan and plot and sacrifice? And I don't have an answer, but I was just saying I resonate with that. And yet I also know that ultimately everything comes from Him. And even the things I can do to prepare and plan and be responsible are not possible unless they're gifts from Him. So that's all I had to say.
Amen. Barbie.
As some of you know, most don't, I was 36 before I believed in Jesus as my Savior and who died for my sins. So when that occasion happened, I was a newborn child. And I was 36 years old, but I felt like a newborn child. And I have kept on, I have held to that childlike trust and belief ever since. And I'm also 67, and I still have that same feeling as the day that He blessed me and made me understand what it was all about.
Thank you. Anyone else? Let's pray. Jesus, you were a kid. We forget about that sometimes. You were a little kid who got lost in the crowd, and according to your parents, they were very concerned about you. And they found you teaching the wise ones. And you teach us still. Father, help us to delight in you. Jesus, as our big brother, our older brother, show us what it means to trust. Take pleasure and joy. Spirit, here in this room, teach us to be kids who understand the kingdom of God. Help us to be like those little ones so that we can truly enjoy your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your provision, your care. And Father, I know even as I say all those things, I think of all the responsibilities I have and all the stuff I got to get done and all the cares of this world and how much my calf is hurting. And so help me to let go and trust your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.